08.
Two of the four remaining contestants in the Republican presidential primary race say that they're the better choice for the job. Newt Gingrich says his greatest challenge right now is to get the message out that his conservative message gives Republicans a better chance to win in November. This audio is courtesy of NBC's Meet the Press.
The last two times we nominated a moderate, 1996 and 2008, we lost badly. A conservative candidate can offer a much greater contrast with President Obama.
And former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum says he's the only GOP candidate that would have a chance to beat Barack Obama. This audio, courtesy of Fox News Sunday.
We have two candidates, candidly, that are flawed. If you look at Florida and Nevada, the results were down as far as participation is concerned. I mean, this is not a good sign when the two candidates that everybody's talking about is not generating any energy in a Republican primary.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Today in America, nearly everyone wants and most need to lose weight. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. We have discovered a metabolic pill that curbs the appetite and helps people burn more calories naturally without making you jittery. We are helping to introduce a revolutionary weight loss system that could help millions improve their health and look better. To find out how you can change your world, go to 3stepusa.com or call 800-480-2102.
A new Senate proposal would give the government more power to regulate the computer security of critical industries. The plan, which is expected to be released in the coming days, claims that it would make computer systems which run power and nuclear plants, electrical grids, and other crucial systems less vulnerable from hackers. Officials familiar with the bill says it would give more power to Homeland Security to decide which companies to regulate. The proposal is already drawing strong opposition from businesses that say that it goes too far. The UN Security Council has failed to pass a resolution on Syria as violence there continues to mount. With more, here's correspondent Julie Walker.
Russia and China vetoed the UN Security Council resolution that backed an Arab League peace plan demanding Syrian President Assad step down. This comes at the same time Syrian activists say more than 200 people were killed by government forces there in what they call one of the bloodiest episodes of the uprising.
A second term for President Barack Obama would allow him to expand his replacement of Republican-appointed majorities with Democratic ones on the nation's appeals courts, the final stop for almost all challenged federal court rulings. Despite his slow start in nominating judges and Republican delays in Senate confirmations, Obama has altered the balance of power on four of the nation's 13 circuit courts of appeals. Given a second term, Obama could change the balance of power on others. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. On November 18th, 2011, just a few days before pardoning two turkeys, President Obama signed a law permitting Americans to slaughter horses for human consumption. This came after a 5-year ban on domestic horse slaughter. Now, what's going on here? How can this in any way be good for the horses? And just think about it. How can we permit any slaughter of beautiful and majestic horses when so many of us have so much affection for them? Well, later in the show, we're going to continue the discussion on horse welfare with Bob Ferber, who is L.A. Deputy City Attorney and the first full-time prosecutor in the nation that exclusively prosecutes animal abuse and neglect cases. But first, to try to answer some of these questions, I'm pleased to welcome Susan Wagner, who is founder of Equine Advocates. In 2004, she opened Equine Advocates Rescue and Sanctuary. Susan and her staff have rescued thousands of abused, neglected, and slaughter-bound horses, ponies, mules, and donkeys, as well as acting as vocal advocates for all equines. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Thank you for having me.
Susan, you had a particular encounter with a horse named Gandalf, who really opened your eyes to the many problems horses now face. Please tell us about Gandalf and how you became involved in horse rescue and advocacy.
Well, we're going to have to go back quite a while to when I was 3 years old and I was in love with Zorro's horse. So that's when it started. I was a horse lover my entire life and, you know, never a great rider, but just would love to just be around horses. I didn't care if I could ride them or not. I just loved being in their company. There's just a certain special something about horses, and it's not just because they're great animals. It's because that as Americans, we are taught that they are part of our history. They are our history. They're part of our soul, part of our identity as Americans, because frankly, we wouldn't have a country if not for the horse. And so it's ingrained in us as we grow up that horses are favored animals, just like dogs and cats are. And so I was, you know, always a horse lover. I was a theater major in college, and then one day I saw a picture of Secretariat on the cover of three magazines, and I went to the track and saw him win the Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths, and I was so overwhelmed that the next day I got a job at the racetrack, and I spent 15 years there. There was a lot of good things, but there were a lot of dark things. And because I was young and enthusiastic and wanting to change the world, I thought that I could make a positive change. But, you know, after a while, I just thought, well, I need to do something else and help horses another way. So I worked for a zoological institution for 5 years, and interestingly, that's when I rescued Gandalf. He had been purchased from a riding stable out on Long Island to be part of a petting zoo, a children's zoo. And he was sort of old and crabby, which is the thing I loved about him most, and he didn't really get along too well with the children. And so the zoo decided to dump him, and that was the first time I heard the term horse dealer. Yes, he would be picked up by a horse dealer. And probably sent, you know, sold for meat. And I said, what do you mean, sold for meat? And they said, oh, well, you know, slaughtered for human consumption. We don't eat them here, but they eat them in Europe and Japan. I was dumbfounded. So I started making some inquiries and realized that all those years that I had worked on the racetrack, I was clueless that this was going on. And that was because I was working on the New York racing circuit where horses weren't really going directly from New York to slaughter. They were going from New York to other states, to smaller tracks, and then to slaughter. But it sort of changed my life. So I and a friend and an ex-boyfriend purchased Gandalf and sent him to a farm in Maryland. And that was in 1993. So Gandalf was my first rescue of a horse from slaughter, and I just decided that I wanted to dedicate my life to ending this horrible practice. So in 1996, I founded Equine Advocates, and we established the sanctuary in 2004, but I actually operated this organization for the first 8 years from an apartment in Queens. We had horses in six states. I boarded them and fostered them. And that's really how I got involved with horse rescue and equine protection.
Susan, that's so interesting, that history. What are the main problems horses face today in America?
Well, it's always a great thing to think you would like to have a horse, but you need to understand what's involved before you take that step. For instance, having a horse is a 30-year commitment. Unlike dogs and cats that live half as long as horses, And one needs to be a responsible equine guardian, meaning that if for some reason you can't keep a horse, that you're able to either find the horse a humane and kind home, or you do everything you can to make sure that that animal is not sent off to an auction. Dogs and cats are not sent to slaughter, but horses are. And so we sometimes, it's a last resort, but humane euthanasia, even though it's not ideal, is still a better resort than sending a horse to slaughter. I do believe that all the problems that we have in this country with respect to horses has to do with slaughter, because every aspect of the horse industry, the common denominator for every aspect of the horse industry is the slaughterhouse. And that's because people who want to overbreed horses know that they can get rid of their animals any time of the day or night for money. And they don't have to take responsibility for them.
Right.
You know,
right.
There are people who take responsibility because they're responsible people. But then you have the people who aren't. And it's just going to continue on and on in a vicious cycle until we take away that option of being able to sell horses for meat. And then you will see a dramatic drop in the number of indiscriminately bred horses. And that goes for the racing industry, the quarter horse industry, which breeds more horses than any other facet of the horse industry. They're breeding over 140,000 horses a year.
Wow.
And that's because they're breeding them puppy mill style for color,
right,
for conformation, for all these other special characteristics and traits that if they don't have them, they just get rid of them. And I always find this to be particularly upsetting. If you starve your dog or cat, you will be charged with animal cruelty and fined. If you starve your horse, you get rewarded by getting paid by selling the animal for meat. Now, something is terribly wrong with that picture. So as far as I'm concerned, horse slaughter encourages a violation of the cruelty laws, and for that reason alone, it should be banned.
Yeah, very good. So tell us now, there was recently a change in the laws concerning slaughter in the U.S. Can you give my listeners a quick legal update on horse slaughter?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is our side, we're never as devious as the opposition. I wish we would become as devious. What happened was around Thanksgiving, when everyone was busy with the holidays, Congress did not include some language that had been included in the appropriations bill, which is a huge bill that everyone wants to vote for because there are things in it that everybody needs for funding their districts and their states, whatever. So this congressional pro-horse slaughter cabal got together and attached an amendment to this huge appropriations bill that did not include language that defunded horse meat inspections at taxpayers' expense. And so for the first time in 5 years, that language was not included in the appropriations bill, thus paving the way for the return of horse slaughter to the United States. It's confusing, and that's exactly why it was done that way, to be confusing and catch everybody off guard, which they did right around Thanksgiving. Now, I have to tell you that even though we haven't had horse slaughter plants built here, our horses have still been going over the borders to Mexico and Canada for unspeakable, horrible deaths, and flown to Japan and other countries for the purpose of slaughter for human consumption. We have not had a federal bill passed, and it's a national disgrace that we haven't, because back in 1998, Kathleen Doyle and the California Equine Council passed the first state initiative in the nation banning the slaughter of horses for human consumption in the state of California. Over 60% of the electorate voted for it. I was out there for election day. And it was an amazing experience because California is not only the biggest state and the most populated state, it has more horses than any state, and it's also the biggest agribusiness state in the nation. And so we thought,
Susan, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We have to go to a commercial break. Don't go away. We're talking to Susan Wagner, founder of Equine Advocates. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and you're listening to Animals Today.
Wow. So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Have you ever dreamed of being your own boss? Of having your own business? Of calling the shots instead of taking them? If you have, now's the time to call Guidant Financial. They can show you how to purchase a business or franchise without getting a bank loan, without the risk of using your home as personal collateral, and without the insecurity that comes along with relying on anyone else besides yourself to be in control of your future. If you have more than $50,000 in your 401k, IRA, or other retirement funds, Guidant can show you how to invest that money directly into a business or franchise without taking a taxable distribution. We've helped thousands of entrepreneurs, just like you, become small business owners. You could have your own business up and running in no time. Now that's a dream come true.
Call Guidant Financial now for free information, 800-430-6692, 800-430-6692. 430-6692. That's 800-430-6692.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about something as important as your mortgage. Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, and I'd like to introduce the Yorgage from Quicken Loans. That's right, the Yorgage. Our Yorgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. It's a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to custom design a term that works best for you anywhere from 8 to 30 years. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. Our 8-year fixed Yorgage can help. We keep your term short and we lower your monthly payment. The rate today in an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give Quicken Loans a call today at 866-QUICKEN. That's 866-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com. The Quicken Loans mortgage. Everything we do is engineered to amaze.
Individual results may vary. Call for additional cost information. Other restrictions may apply. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kircher, and we're speaking to Susan Wagner, founder of Equine Advocates. What great work they do. Susan, before the break, you were speaking about California legislation related to horse slaughter. Please continue that.
Well, I'll be brief. I just want to say, you know, California set the wheels in motion, and then Texas followed, Illinois followed, and all of that's great, but we need a federal ban. And special interests have continually blocked it. And that's why we don't have a federal horse slaughter ban, and we still have horses going over the borders, even though we don't have slaughterhouses here. So while this law that was signed last year is a big setback, the main goal is to stop horses from going over the borders, because the same number of horses are being slaughtered, American horses are being slaughtered abroad as they were when we still had slaughterhouses here. They're just going over the borders. So it's not an answer to the problem.
Yeah. Give us an estimate on the number of horses expected to be killed, let's say, this year in the U.S.
140,000.
Wow. Wow. And so the main sources of unwanted excess horses, again, just summarize for my listeners.
Yeah, this is a big point because I hate to use the word unwanted, because they're not unwanted. I don't think any horse is unwanted, because as John Hettinger used to say, they wanted them when they got them, didn't they? These horses are inconvenient. I call them inconvenient horses because they're just not doing what they used to do for the person, either making money for them or jumping high enough or running fast enough or making money for them on the streets of New York or Philadelphia. Whatever it is that they're using these horses for, they can't use them anymore, so they just get rid of them, throw them away like garbage. And that has to stop. People have to take responsibility. You know, most of the horses in this country, there are 11 million of them, are owned by private people who would never dream of sending their horse to an auction. People think it's industry. It's not. The majority of people are private horse owners who wouldn't do that. It's the industry that's doing it. And yet they have representation in Washington, but the average person, the average horse owner, does not. And that has to change also.
Now there's a special, there are special interests and agricultural lobbies which are in favor of horse slaughter. Is that correct?
Well, yes. The Farm Bureau spends millions of dollars trying to block anti-horse slaughter legislation, as do the cattlemen that want to exterminate all the wild horses so that they can replace, for every horse that's gathered, they can replace that horse with a calf and a cow.
And Susan, so, how do they defend their position?
It's a small group of special interests that have a lot of money. So they're able to lobby Washington with their power and their money. And that's all that this is about. You know, there was a brand new poll taken just within the last week that 80% of Americans are opposed to horse slaughter. That's even higher than it ever was before. How is it in a democratic society that this small group of powerful special interests can supersede the will of the entire population, the vast majority of Americans? There's just something wrong there, and that's what we have to combat. We have to find a way to unite all of these people, because if we can unite everybody against horse slaughter, we win.
What is involved, Susan, in being a responsible horse guardian? Do many people buy horses that should not?
Yes, and the same thing is true about dogs and cats. The thing is, education is the key to everything. We have a humane education center here. We regularly hold classes, symposiums, workshops, and outreach, try to get the word out to people about what's involved with horses, the pleasure of having a horse, but the responsibilities, the financial responsibilities. You know, people spend a lot of money playing golf or doing certain things as hobbies. You know, having a horse is like having a part of the family, only a larger, more expensive part of the family, that horses have very special needs. And even though they are big and powerful, they are extremely delicate. And so health care is very, very important. You've got to do their teeth. You've got to trim their feet regularly. You've got to take care of them. Otherwise, you know, they can get sick. And they get sick easily if you don't take care of them properly. So educating people about their care, having them understand the financial obligations, and then, of course, everything else is all good, just being around them, just having them. You know, riding horses is fine. It's a great thing. But just like anything else, when people get old, they can't do what they did when they were younger. The same thing applies to horses. So you would hope that, to us, a responsible horse guardian would be someone who, as the horse gets older and then can no longer be ridden, the horse just becomes a part of the family. And that's the way horses should be treated.
Right, and I'm sure the struggling economy is sure hurting the horses, correct?
Really badly. We get 5 to 10 emails and calls a day to take horses.
Mm.
It's overwhelming in this economy.
Yeah. Susan, we only have about 2.5 minutes, and I really wanted to get to a couple other things. Can you speak briefly about the production of drugs for menopause and the relation to horse abuse and slaughter?
Sure. Premarin, Prempro, and Premphase are estrogen and hormone replacement drugs used to treat the symptoms of menopause. Luckily, it has decreased tremendously over the last few years, really since 2002, when it was revealed in the Women's Health Initiative that using drugs made from pregnant mares' urine causes breast cancer, strokes, heart attacks, dementia, a host of very serious illnesses. Horses that are used to produce these drugs are basically turned into four-legged drug machines. They are mares that have to be continuously pregnant. They stand for 6 months at a time in one position as their urine is harvested. And the foals are considered byproducts, are fattened for slaughter and sold for meat. So I would say millions of horses since 1942 have died because of this horrible industry. There used to be about 750 of these PMU factory farms between Canada and North Dakota and northern U.S., but now there were about 30 left. That's still 30 too many, but it's decreasing, not because of the horrible treatment of the horses, but because the drugs have so many horrible side effects.
Susan, we only have a few seconds left. What can each one of us do right now to try to turn things around for the horses? And also, please tell us briefly about Equine Advocates at your website, please.
Yeah, our website is equineadvocates.org. We've got 81 remarkable equines, including horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules. The most important thing you can do now is make 4 phone calls. Your 2 U.S. senators, your representative in the House of Representatives, and President Obama. Get on the phone and just tell them that you want to see horse slaughter banned. And stay in touch with us. Join our website, our mailing list, and we will send you updates about what you can do if things happen.
Susan Wagner, thank you so much. She's founder of Equine Advocates. Check it out, Equine Advocates. Susan Wagner, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
In honor of Black History Month, Macy's and the Romare Bearden Foundation celebrate the 100th birthday of the African-American artist, innovator, and visionary, Romare Bearden. Join us at select Macy's locations nationwide for inspiring events that showcase his artwork and celebrate his legacy. Check your local newspapers or visit Macy's.com/celebrate for locations and details. Join us as we celebrate Black History Month. That's the magic of Macy's.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com, where you can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar emergency.
My mom's going to the wrong way.
Is she okay?
No, she's closing her eyes.
Okay, I'm going to get the police out there to help your mom.
Okay.
Police.
This is OnStar emergency. I have a young child that pressed their emergency button. She's saying that her mom keeps closing her eyes, but she's still driving. She's at Sumter and Tropicare. I can conference you into the vehicle.
Hello?
Somebody please. I'm only 7 years old.
Is your mom still driving?
She's going very slow.
Is she diabetic?
Yeah.
Okay, we're coming to help you.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
See the policeman.
You did a great job.
Yay.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I would now like to welcome back to the show a good friend of Animals Today, Bob Ferber. Bob is L.A. Deputy City Attorney and a 32-year veteran prosecutor and the first full-time prosecutor in the nation that exclusively prosecutes animal abuse and neglect cases. And Bob successfully lobbied for that position and finally persuaded the City of L.A. to lead the nation in animal cruelty prosecutions. Bob, I know you were tuning in to the discussion we just had with Susan Wagner with Equine Advocates. Please tell us your thoughts about horse welfare in our country currently and about the change in the laws concerning horse slaughter in the United States.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Lori. And I want to tell your listeners, first of all, I couldn't agree more with everything that Susan said. Just everything she said is accurate, in my opinion. I'm on the West Coast. She's on the East Coast. Maybe that says something to the listeners, that this is something the whole nation needs to be involved in. And I really hope that by the end of this radio show, people will be incensed and driven to let their legislators and Obama know that we won't tolerate this. A little bit more background is that, you know, if you go on the internet and you'll hear about this horse slaughter, unfortunately, or very interestingly, there are people in the animal community saying, oh, this sounds like a good idea, because we we have horses in this country that are going through this horrible transport to Mexico and Canada to be slaughtered for horse meat in other parts of the world. This is horrible. It would be better for us to kill them quickly here. And that's one of the arguments that has been used to sort of get the animal people on board. I think, first of all, people should understand, whether you're an animal lover or not, this isn't an animal-loving-driven piece of legislation or law that Obama put in. This is driven by the agriculture industry, which is a euphemism for the factory farm industry. Any of your listeners, I'm sure just about everybody in this country at one point or another has seen videos and photographs of how factory farming treats horses. How they treat pigs, chickens, cows. That is a national disgrace by itself. You don't have to be a vegan or vegetarian to be outraged by the way animals are treated before slaughter for food. This bill or this regulation that Obama put into effect last year essentially is driven by that same industry to eventually bring to this country and expand it around the world where horses will ultimately be treated just the way cows, pigs, and chickens are being treated and suffering. But, you know, on a greater, on a wider scale or a more global, a bigger picture view, Lori, I'm a prosecutor of animal abuse and neglect, but I know that that is not the solution to caring for animals. The solution is teaching the right message. It's educating people, inspiring our youth. They're the movers and shakers of the world. Even on Susan's website, she accurately talks about it. It's the young people that are going to be moving the world who are going to be the future horse owners. How can we as a society believe that killing is a solution, that the solution to too many horses, whether we call it unwanted or, as Susan prefers, inconvenient, what Obama is doing, and by the way, I happen to be a Democrat. I was a huge supporter of Obama, and it shocks me that he has supported this. How can we propose that the solution to stopping animals from suffering in Canada or going to Canada is to kill them more quickly? Killing has become a solution. Interestingly, actually, in California, Governor Brown is trying to repeal what's known as the Hayden Law. That's a law that ensures that dogs and cats in shelters are held long enough that they can find homes. He's trying to repeal that to save money. It's almost the exact same thing as what they're arguing in Washington to us about horses is, we're gonna save money and we're gonna save the animals. But what we're really doing is we're going to the money. We're following that phrase, follow the money. This is about money. This is about giving money to the factory farming community to be able to expand in trillions of dollars by selling horses and deceiving the public that this is some humane bill. Lori, I'm in a parking lot right now talking with you in Los Angeles. I'm on my way to a school in South Central Los Angeles, where in a half hour I'm going to be teaching inner-city kids with two pit bulls about reverence for life, compassion for all living creatures. How do I go there in a half hour and tell them that our society uses killing as a humane solution to too many animals?
Right.
This is insane. The real solutions, and I think Susan had touched upon it, is that it's not that, let's just keep the animals from going to Canada through this horrible transport. Let's not delay it. Let's just kill them quickly. That's not a solution. The solution is legislation to ban slaughter in the United States, to ban the transport outside the United States for slaughter. And the real solution is if you have too many animals and not enough homes, then you need to regulate the flow of animals. You can't just put, the old thing of put your finger in the dike and prevent the flood. You have to go to the source of the problem. I'm a founder of co-founder of a horse organization called Thoroughbred Education Foundation, which people can go on the internet, thoroughbreded.org. Our organization's goals are almost identical to equine advocates. And what we both organizations are advocating is that we need to regulate the breeding of horses. Virtually every state or city in the country has some sort of spay and neuter law for dogs and cats. If they don't, they're doing it. People need to know that in the horse world, they're breeding like rabbits, and it's for money. And they'll breed and breed and breed until they get a horse that maybe will win a race or maybe will win a horse show. And all those dozens of other horses that came from that one mare, they're going to be slaughtered. And so we're teaching kids that we're a culture of irresponsibility, or actually disposability. The phrase I like to use is, do we want to teach responsibility or disposability? And we're teaching that killing, disposability, is a solution to a problem. I'm appalled by it, and it's sending all of our culture backwards, and it's teaching other countries, and not just our youth, but it sends a signal to others that American culture believes that killing is a solution, and particularly in our environment today with the political atmosphere, trying to make claims to other countries that we're a humane society while we're engaged in wars around the world, whether you support them or not. It's more important than ever that we send a signal that we are a peaceful culture, and I believe we are. I believe that we teach that, but this is an inconsistent signal by using killing as a solution.
And Bob, you make such an outstanding point. You relate it, like it, to the dogs and cats, that we're just working on the wrong end here. I mean, we're killing 5-6 million dogs and cats in our local shelters and in our country's shelters, rather than really putting a stop on the breeding. And similar to the horses, rather than just killing the excess horses, let's put a stop to the breeding of them.
That's right. And you know what? If you carried it one step further, the solution to dog and cat overpopulation is, let's start eating them, because that's the same.
Yep.
It's almost exactly what they're saying. There's too many horses, let's kill them and eat them. There's too many dogs and cats, why not start killing and eating them? I can tell you that when I go to the school in about 20 minutes, they're not going to see any distinction, because you know what? There is none. So for us as adults to artificially see somehow that this is different, it isn't. We're teaching the same message, and it translates in the streets. It translates to teaching children that violence is a solution, that instead of working on a real solution, you know, that this is the solution to killing it. And one other thing that I want to put out there for the listeners is that, you know, rescuing horses, you know, Susan said it very well. You know, the commitment for a horse is a 30-year-plus commitment. The expenses are hundreds of times more than a dog and cat. We can't rescue all the dogs and cats in the world. For those who say, well, let's just have more rescue sanctuaries for horses, that is even more far-fetched. Rescuing horses is not a real solution. And, in fact, you just look at all the sanctuaries around the country, well-meaning people who are trying to, you know, save some of these. They're going broke. They're even being accused of neglect because they don't have the money. The reality is that rescuing in some ways is kind of, may sound ironic to your listeners, rescuing enables irresponsible breeding.
Thank you, Bob Ferber. Don't go away. Peter in the News, up next on Animals Today.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to. and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Emergency, this is Judy.
Hi, I just had an accident.
Are you injured?
I think I'm okay. I'm just scared. I'm pregnant. I'm 8 months.
Okay, I have you on Kel Lane and Nell. I'm going to get the 911 centers on the line.
911.
My name is Judy with OnStar. Going to need police and medical. My subscriber's been involved in an accident.
I'll get help out to you.
I should call my husband. I can't find my cell phone.
Do you want me to call him for you?
Will you please?
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Hello, is this Eddie?
Yeah.
It's Judy with OnStar. I'm going to bring you on to speak with your wife.
I just had an accident. It was a bad hit.
Are you okay?
I'm just scared.
Baby, I'm on my way.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
I'm great.
I learned a lot about
horses
today.
Oh, so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Do you think the public knows No. What goes on?
No,
you know?
I really don't.
Do you think the people who like to ride in the stables know, or the children who are, well, children, I guess you can't go after them. But.
Peter, I think the majority of people don't even know about the industry, like the horse racing industry and what happens to the horses how cruel it is.
And for your guest who was working in a New York track for 15 years, didn't realize.
I know.
Because those horses would just go to the minor leagues on their way to the slaughterhouse.
And she found out. That was incredibly.
But look how long it took to find out.
Right, so. Right. And she went into that because for the love of horses.
Yes.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They are, some of her points are right on. They are part of our heritage and our history, and we do owe them more than we're giving them.
I agree. But I'll just tell you something real quick. I did see a little interview on one of the news stations the other night, and there was a couple representatives from animal rights groups around the country. Mm-hmm. One was from PETA, and they support this legislation because they do feel like Bob Ferber and Susan Wagner mentioned that they they don't want to see if their horses are going to get slaughtered anyway. Why not slaughter them here? Why put them in a truck where there's excrement and they're going to slip and bump into each other for thousands of miles to get to the place that they're going to ultimately be slaughtered at? So they were in support of it.
Yes, but not as the final solution they're looking forward to.
That's right. That is not the final solution. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's going on in the news?
Well, there's a nicer story out of China. There's a northeastern province there which is filled with animal snares, illegal wire snares that are set out by people to hunt rabbits and deer and other sort of animals so they can eat them. Well, these snares are catching tigers, and once in a while they're finding, dead tigers attached to this wire snare. And, of course, the tiger's endangered and need lots of room to go. So a great group of volunteers, more than 50 of them, got out and braved the freezing temperatures and snow, and they searched around looking for the snares, illegal snares set by poachers. And they were able to clear 162 of these illegal wire snares.
Oh, that's so great.
And this was sort of sponsored by the Wildlife Conservation Society and with some partners. And it's really a wonderful illustration of the increasing interest in wildlife and conservation that is growing throughout China.
Yeah.
Even with all the negatives that we've talked about
right.
on the show, there appears to be a groundswell amongst the individuals who want to care and do something more about animals.
Yeah, but there's always going to be these poachers. There's always going to be them.
And they're around here, too.
They're all around.
Yeah. In Australia, do you know there is a SeaWorld branch in Australia? An interesting letter was written by Jason Baker, who's director of campaigns for PETA, asking SeaWorld Australia to stop serving fish to people as food in SeaWorld. So, it does make you wonder. He says in his letter, I'll quote, "In some respects, fish's cognitive abilities surpass those of dogs and cats and some non-human primates. In light of these discoveries, it seems inappropriate for an institution with a mission that includes teaching people to respect and appreciate marine animals to serve fish in its cafeteria."
Now, that's the point. That is the point right there.
Yes.
If that's their mission,
right.
That's not really what they do.
Sort of not.
Right? If that's their mission to try to teach compassion towards these beautiful, magnificent creatures, whatever, then Peter's right. They shouldn't be serving fish. So that is an inconsistency there.
And one that it probably is present in most of the zoos in the United States as well.
Absolutely.
Serving hamburgers.
That's right. But what do you,
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line? But yes, that's right.
So, well, we'll see what they'll probably ignore it.
Okay, right. Well, you never know.
But it is a little strange. Okay.
Yeah, it is. You're watching fish entertain, and then you
wonder if people realize, if it seems strange in any way to the ordinary person just minding their business, want to see the whales and the dolphins and have a nice family time with their kids, if it really ever strikes them as somewhat odd that they're just going to go to the cafeteria and have a fish fillet or something like that.
My guess is no, it doesn't strike them as odd.
Yeah.
My guess is families go there, want their kids to be entertained, want to see the whales doing tricks and the playing with the dolphins, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yes, they want their fish fillet and their fried fish and finger sticks. I think they see nothing wrong with that.
Well, Baker adds that serving fish at an aquarium is like serving poodle burgers at a dog show.
Ugh.
There's a PETA...
analogy.
PETA Molotov cocktail for
That's
you.
That's good, right? Okay.
So they have the way
yeah,
of
well,
putting these things together.
Okay, well, I could see their point.
In Egypt, they are continue to have a huge problem with illegal ivory sales. It's become really the largest market in Africa for illegal ivory items. They cannot be sold legally without a permit, and no permit has ever been issued. And yet, when you go surveying the markets, you can find all these carved...